This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, a pair of general elections in Kenya on the continent of Africa and East Africa this year have been highly contested, sparking protests and drawing attention across the continent and the globe in what is being called the country's worst political crisis in a decade. The elections pitted President Kenyatta of the Jubilee Party against longtime opposition leader Odinga of NASA. In the first presidential vote held in August, Kenyatta was declared the winner, and that was backed by the EU and other people. And he earned, they say, 54% of the vote. And Odinga behind at 44.8% of the vote. But that vote was met with controversy. Odinga, a NASA party, challenged the results, claiming election fraud, saying hackers broke into the Election Commission computer systems and database, and the Supreme Court nullified the election. And there was then a repeat election scheduled for Thursday, October 26th. But Odinga, although he was on the ballot first, he said that that election should be postponed until things were organized for a true, clear election and free election. So there was a refusal to postpone the election. So Odinga and the NASA party called for a boycott of the election, saying no electoral reform had been made and it was a meaningless exercise. Nevertheless, the vote went ahead. There were protests that happened. Meanwhile, I should say that prior to the first election in August, a key electoral commission figure was killed and tortured. And this led to a concern about discrepancy in the vote and the fact that the win for Kenyatta, Uhuru Kenyatta, was really being set up. So the second vote, October 26, did go ahead. And of course, with a boycott, it was basically only Kenyatta on the ballot. And he won, we're being told, by 98.2% of the vote. The voter turnout shrunk lower than 40% due to the boycott. And now Raila Odinga is calling the election a sham. We're going to go to a series of short clips helping us to give some more background and setting up our interview here. One from the South African Network, a shorter piece from the BBC, and then the last piece from NTV.
Kenya's opposition leader, Raila Odinga, is expected to lay out his strategy following yesterday's election result announcement. This, of course, as the country remains divided after President Uhuru Kenyatta won 98% of the vote. Odinga had pulled out of the contest, which was plagued by violent protests. But to talk to us more about the situation in Kenya now, we're joined by our SABC correspondent, Sarah Kimanyi. Sarah, good morning to you, and thank you so much indeed for coming through. Talk to us about the reaction from ordinary Kenyans. What are they saying?
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me. The country is still as divided as it was when it went to the elections, first on August the 8th and then again on Thursday last week, October the 26th. Now, this time it is even more divided because only 39% of the total population of the people that are registered to vote cast their ballots. And so a lot of people saying that President Kenyatta's re-election is not legitimate. Some people questioning his credibility and the credibility of the election, saying that the delay that had been requested by some civil society organizations and some international observers should have actually been kept so that the whole country then would have been involved in the election of the next president.
But our statement here is we reject sham elections. NASA campaigned for electoral justice and democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, the meaningless exercise, a charade purported to be an election, is now behind us. Today, we return to the hard but essential task of making elections count and democracy work in Kenya. This is in line with the task we assigned ourselves at the beginning of our current journey, that we be the people who will end fraud not only in Kenya, but in all of Africa. As part of the People's Assembly, NASA is forming a task force to look into the systemic governance weaknesses that have precipitated the unfolding political crisis, including, but not limited to, one, the systemic continuing failure of electoral bodies and the electoral system in general. Two, performance of national security organs and the abuse thereof by the executive. Three, the political architecture and the structure of the executive and parliament in particular. Four, protection and safeguarding of devolution. Five, exclusion and discrimination in the allocation or distribution of public resources. Six, the continued inability of the state and our society in general to deal with the root causes of political strife, in particular poverty, unemployment, extreme inequality, economic marginalization, corruption, and historical grievances. We anticipate that the task force recommendations will include constitutional amendments that will be presented to the People's Assembly for adoption and thereafter to the county assemblies for ratification. We call upon all county assemblies to pass resolutions supporting the establishment of the People's Assembly.
Okay, and there you heard from the opposition leader in Kenya, Raila Odinga, here to discuss all of this base in Tanzania. I'd like to welcome Ezra Muguri. Ezra has served as co-chair of the Kenya Civil Society Reference Group, an alliance of progressive national, international, and local public benefit organizations leading the effort to retain civic space in Kenya. Ezra, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so it's a mess, right? Interestingly enough, Odinga did not, so far, make a legal challenge to the election. Is that still the case? It seems as though he is going the route of organizing opposition in civil society by establishing a people's assembly, etc. But so far, I haven't heard about a legal challenge.
No, that's right. He has. I think he's chosen not to go with a legal challenge because of the problems that have come in the way of any legal challenges. What happened is he decided, and his party decided, that they were going to boycott the election because after the first vote was annulled, he made it very clear that in order for the repeat vote to be a legitimate exercise, there needed to be some fundamental changes made at the Independence and Electoral Boundaries Commission. He said that, you know, you cannot have the same team that had organized the previous elections, which had been declared to be fraudulent, to be able to organize, you know, a free, fair, and credible exercise afresh now, because that was not done. And one can argue that the time span given for the repeat election was rather short. Then it became impossible to you know, they felt that it was untenable. It would be wrong to go through an exercise which was already predetermined against the opposition. Now, going to answer your question, the reason I think that they have his party has avoided going the legal way is because they feel that all the attempts that have been made that were made to make these corrections before the election did not show that systems and structures were in place for the use of the judicial system in order to get what they wanted. You know, so this is why they're deciding that it is probably better to go a different way and go the way, you know, they've talked about forming a resistance movement and go that way instead and see if they can get the results they are hoping for.
Right. And a lot of people were very hopeful. I mean, when the Supreme Court in Kenya nullified that first election, apparently, from what I recall, I think it was the first time that had happened on the continent. Clearly, Odinga, in his statement, talked about the messages of solidarity that were coming in from around the world. And I was really quite struck with what happened in Kenya, with what happened in Haiti. In Haiti, where there was a fraudulent first election, and there was a second election, also fraudulent, that basically had the same result. So it seemed as though Odinga was really trying to avoid, you know, that kind of setup and go the route of putting forward his six-point plan and talking about attacking poverty and that sort of thing and establishing this People's Assembly. And what do you know so far? What can you tell us about the People's Assembly and what the purpose of it and the potential impact of it?
Well, he's announced it. One thing you must remember is that the election, I mean, when it became clear that the second election, the repeat election, was not going to be, conducted in the manner that they would have hoped, because NASA made clear what the irreducible minimums were in order for them to participate in the election. When they saw that those irreducible minimums were not being met, they then announced a boycott of the election. Now, even though they might be saying that the Jubilee Party won by 98%, it was 98% of the 38% of the registered voters that went to the polls, which means there's a good, 50, close to 60%, 62% who did not vote. Now, and that, you know, I would say a big chunk of that would have chosen not to vote either out of lethargy or taking the advice of the opposition. And that, I think, is the constituency that NASA is looking at and saying, join us in this new enterprise to try and to form these people's assemblies. I think that in those, you can pretty well expect that in those counties where NASA is in leadership, the People's Assembly will probably take root, and there will probably be, some action going along the lines he said. It does create challenges, though, in those other counties, and so I think the sense of polarization across the country will continue to dominate, the space for a while.
Right, and meanwhile, Kenyatta is digging in. Apparently, the Financial Times is reporting that one of his deputies is referring to Raila Odinga of forming armed militias and comparing him, saying he's like Joseph Kony, of the leader of the Lord's Resistance Army over in Uganda. But meanwhile, Raila Odinga is talking about this People's Assembly and made up of women, youth, workers, civil society, et cetera. And it really reminds me of what Maduro has done in Venezuela with setting up the constituent assembly there.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Whatever happens, clearly there's going to be turmoil going down the road. So we're going to have to, keep a close eye on this. And finally, because we're out of time here, what do you think the impact is, not only for East Africa, but all of the continent? I know people are watching it.
I think, first of all, the judgment that annulled the vote, I think, was historic in itself, and I think has shown a real example to the rest of Africa. You know, as you say, a lot of people congratulated both the judiciary as well as the opposition party for taking this matter to court. Obviously, we are, Kenya is being closely watched. And I think that, in a sense, has put additional pressure on the political leaders in the country. One can only hope that they will see sense, because there have been calls from many, many different directions for a political dialogue, because ultimately it will probably be necessary for the political dialogue to really resolve this matter. I don't think it can be resolved any other way. But these people, as you say, Kenyatta is digging in, Raila has taken a position, and they are hurting the country. What's going to have to happen is both of them are going to have to see sense and say, okay, let's, for the good of the country, figure how we go forward in a united way. Otherwise, Kenya will just continue to suffer.
Right, and I think Odinga has called for a dialogue, and Kenyatta has responded to say, well, he wants to wait until after any legal challenges. So we'll continue to cover this. Ezra Mungori, we'll have you back. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.